Welcome back to the OU Shnei Mikra Project and our study of Parshat Vayeshev. This is Menachem Liptag. In today's share, we study Shishi, the sixth Aliyah, beginning with Perak Lametet, Pasuk Zayin, chapter 39, verse 7. After these events, that's obviously referring to what we read in yesterday's Aliyah, how successful Yosef was in Potiphar's house and how he put him in charge of his entire household. Recall yesterday's Aliyah concluded by telling us how handsome and good-looking Yosef was. And now an affair begins to develop between Potiphar's wife and Yosef himself. Patisa eshet adonav et eneha el Yosef. Potiphar's wife says to Yosef, Shichvai mi, lie with me. In Pasachet now we're going to see Yosef's response to this offer. Vayma'en. Yosef refused. If you note the cantillation mark, the Tamei Mikra, and this word, we find a shalshelet, I think this is one of the best examples where the Tamei Mikra also offer a type of commentary, because that triple-sounding shalshelet indicates a type of hesitation, which would seem to indicate that even though Yosef refused, he was indeed tempted by that request, and it took him quite a while to make his decision to say no. There's a beautiful Midrash of Chazal, which claims that he was almost seduced by Potiphar's wife, but at the last minute, he saw a vision of his father, and it was that vision of his father that caused him to decide not to go along with that request, and instead to run away. So let's continue now with Pasachet. Vayma'en. He refused. Vayomer Eshet Adonav. He told the wife of his master, Hein Adoni lo yada iti ma babayit. My master doesn't even know what's going on in the house. In other words, he puts his total trust in me. V'chol asher yesh lo natan biyadi. Everything that he has, he's given to me. In other words, Yosef is saying, I have the total trust of your husband, and it would be very unfair if I would break that trust. And enenu gadol babayit hazeh mimeni. There's no one in a more powerful position in this house than I am. And he has not held anything back from me other than you, because you're his wife. Because of Yosef's statement here, a lot of commentators say that back in Pasuk Vav, where it says, that the lechem was not referring to the bread that Potiphar was eating, but rather lechem was referring to his wife, even though that interpretation does not fit the pshat of Pasuk Vav. When you note the parallel between Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Tet, that commentary actually makes a lot of sense. So let's return now to Pasuk Tet. And then a gadol babayit hazeh mimeni v'lo chasach mimeni me'uma kim otach basher at ishto. The only thing that I don't control in this house is you, because you're his wife. Ve'ech eseh hara hagdola hazot. How could I do this evil act? V'chatati l'Elohim. It would be unfair not only to your husband who put his trust in me, but it would also be a sin to God. Notice here, it's v'chatati l'Elohim. We saw this idea of illicit behavior, or taking someone's wife in an immoral setting, is referred to in Sefer Bereshit as a sin to Elohim. We don't expect the people in Canaan, nor the people in Mitzrayim, to fear Yudkeh Vavkeh, the God of Israel, God's special name, which was unique to our forefathers, but rather the concept of the fear of God, Chumash Kol Zirat Elohim, the fear of God, or what we defined earlier as basic ethical behavior that God expects from all mankind. That is the type of behavior that God expected. And we saw that when Avram explained to Abimelech why he had to lie about his wife, because he assumed Ein Yirat Elohim b'makom hazeh, there's no fear of God in this place. Therefore, when Yosef tells Eshet Potiphar, v'chatati l'Elohim, this would be a sin to God, he's not saying it would be a sin because I'm religious, it would be a sin because this behavior is unethical. And I have the fear of God in me that should cause man to act properly and ethical. We'll see later on in Parshat Miketz, when Yosef accuses his brothers of being spies, in Perek Membet, in chapter 42, the first thing Yosef does, he puts all 10 brothers in jail and says, you all stay in jail except send one of your brothers back to bring Binyamin, and the other 9 of you stay in jail. Afterwards, he's going to change his mind and say, I'm going to be much nicer. Rather, only one needs to stay in jail and all 9 of you can go back home. That change of mind that he decides, instead of leaving 9 out of the 10 in jail, to leave only 1 of the 10 in jail, is introduced by the phrase that Yosef says, Et Elohim ani yarei. If you take a look in Perek Membet, Pasuk Yudchet, Vayomer Elhem Yosef, Yom HaShlishi, Zot Asu V'chiu Et HaElohim Ani Yarei. This is what I want you to do now, because I fear God. Im Kenim Atem, Achichem Echad Yaser B'Beit Mishmarchem. Only one of your brothers needs to stay in jail. Vatem L'chu Haviu Sheva Ravon Batechem. And then the rest of you can go back and bring food to your family. Yosef is trying to hide his identity. He wouldn't say Et Yudkei Vavkei Ani Yarei. However, when he tells his brothers Et Elohim Ani Yarei, he's not blowing his cover and showing them that he's Jewish. He's simply stating to them that I'm an ethical person. I have the fear of God in me. Here, in Perek Lametet, we have the same idea where he tells Eshet Potiphar, if I would sleep with you, it would be an unethical act, considering the trust that your husband has given me. Therefore, v'chatati l'Elohim, I would have sinned to Elohim. The key time we're going to see this phrase will be later in the mitzvah to wipe out Amalek. There we remind ourselves about how evil Amalek was, because they attacked the weak and the unprotected in our camp when we came out of Egypt. And when we were traveling in the desert, there we're told in Parshat Zachor, v'lo yarei Elohim, the terrible sin of Amalek, they had no fear of God in them. That lack of fear of God, that lack of fear of Elohim, reflects itself in their constant attempts to attack the weak and unprotected as they travel through the desert. Not only the Jewish people, but any travelers that happen to pass by through the desert roads. Let's continue now with Pasuk Yud. Vayhi, and it came to pass, Kedabra el Yosef yom yom, as he continued to talk to Yosef day after day, V'lo shama eleha lishkav etzla liyot ima. Every day she kept on asking him, but he did not listen to her, neither to sleep with her or even to be with her, just to even to talk to her or spend time with her. Yosef refused. Vayhi kayom hazeh, then it came to pass on a certain day, V'yavo habayta lasot melachto, Yosef had come to the house to do his work. Recall, he was in charge of everything in the house. Bein ish mianche habayt sham babayt. And there was no person from the men of the house there in the house. And now Eshet Potiphar has the perfect moment where she's going to try one more time to seduce Yosef. Vatitpeseu bevigdo lemor shichvaymi. Eshet Potiphar grabs Yosef by his garment and demands that he sleep with her. Vayazov bigdo biyada vayanos vayetze achutza. He left his garment in her hand and he fled the house and he went outside. And then when she saw and realized that he left his garment with her, and he ran outside, then she called and screams out to the members of her household. Recall that no one was in the house at the time, but they must have been in the area. Therefore she screams out loud in order that they come back to the house. She told them, saying, look what's happened. They brought this Hebrew man, this Ish Ivri, to make fun and start up with us. Ba'elai lishkavimi, this Ivri servant that we brought from Canaan, he came to me to try to sleep with me. Ve'akra b'kol gadol, therefore I called out with a loud voice because he tried to rape me. Vayi kashom'o, yarimoti koli ve'akra, and this servant, obviously referring to Yosef, when Yosef heard that I raised up my voice and I called out for help, ve'yazo bigdo etzli, then she claims that Yosef left his garment by her, ve'yanos ve'yetzei achutza, and therefore he fled the house and ran outside. Eshet Potiphar is taking the story that happened and switching it around, claiming that Yosef started with her and it wasn't she that started with him. We translated the word Ivri as a Hebrew, even though that translation may be a bit misleading. In Sefer Bereshit, an Ivri is a descendant from the family of Ever. Recall from chapter 10 of Sefer Bereshit, when we have the Todot of Bnei Noach, under the Todot of Bnei Shem, Shem, in the introductory Pasuk, is known as Aviko bnei Ever. He's the father of all the children of Ever, even though Ever is his great-grandson. And in those genealogies of Shem, we focus on his great-grandson Ever. And after we get to Ever, we have Ever's great-grandchildren as well. And there we describe not only where they dwelled, but also how they were migrating from Mesopotamia towards Canaan. Therefore, in Sefer Bereshit, when someone is described as an Ivri, in simple pshat, it's referring to a descendant of Ever, a migrant people from the area of Mesopotamia who are slowly moving towards Canaan and later into Egypt. As they are not nationals, they are usually mistreated and looked down upon. And that's why later in Sefer Shemot, when Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro and says, Elohei HaYivrim, that the God of the Ivrim has called upon us to worship him, Moshe's complaint to Paro is that even though we're Ivrim, we also have a God and we also have religious rights and you have to respect them. Pasuk Tetzayin, Vatanach Bigdo Etzla, she left his garment as evidence. She left it with her. Ad bo Adonav el bito, until Yosef's master, which was her husband, came to the house, she left the garment with her so she would have proof to incriminate Yosef. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vatadaber Elav kadvarim ha'ela lemor, she told her husband the same things that she told the members of her household about Yosef. Ba'elai ha'eved ha'ivri asher veta lanu letzachek bi, this Hebrew servant that you brought to make fun of us and to start up with us, he came to me and tried to rape me. Vahi karimi koli vekra, and it came to pass when I raised up my voice and I screamed out for help, v'yazov bigdo etzli v'yanos achutza, he left his garment by me and ran away outside. So that's the fabricated story that Eshet Potiphar tells her husband. Now we're going to see his response. Pasuk Yotet, v'hi kishma Adonav et divrei ishto, asher divrei lav lemor, kadvarim ha'ela asali afdecha, And when her husband, Yosef's master, heard what his wife told him, Vayichar apo, he became very angry. Vayikach Adonai Yosef oto, Vayitneu abeit ha-sohar. So Yosef's master took him, or arrested him, and put him into jail. Mokom asher asirei ha-melech asurim. Vayisham bebeit ha-sohar, the jail they put him into, the jail where criminals of the king's court are held, and there Yosef remained in that jail. Pasuk Chaf-Alef. Vayi Adonai et Yosef, veit elav chased. Even though Yosef was in jail, God remained with Yosef, and God created this situation where Yosef found favor in the eyes of the warden who was in charge of the jail. Vayitein sar beit ha-sohar biyad Yosef et kol ha-sirim. The warden of this jail had so much trust in Yosef that he put him in charge of all the other prisoners, asher bebeit ha-sohar, that were in that jail. Vet kol asher osim sham hu ha-yoseh. Everything that needed to be done in the jail, the warden of this jail put Yosef in charge. Notice that in the same manner that God was with Yosef in the house of Potiphar as an Eved, now God helps Yosef in a similar manner while he's in jail. Ein sar beit ha-sohar ro'ed kol me'uma biyado. The minister in charge of this jail didn't see anything wrong with anything that Yosef did. Bashir Adonai ito, and the reason was because Yud Kei Vav Kei Hashem was with him. Bashir hu oseh Adonai matzliach, everything that Yosef did, God helped him become successful. Just like we explained before, how the name Elohim is used in conversations between Yosef and the other people in Egypt, which reflects the God of mankind who expects basic ethical behavior, here we find Chumash using the name of God Yud Kei Vav Kei to describe how Hashem goes out of his way to make sure that Yosef, even though he's in jail and even though he's a slave, God makes sure that he's very successful. The name Yud Kei Vav Kei is used to describe God in his personal relationship with the Jewish people, in contrast to Elohim, which is a common noun. Yud Kei Vav Kei is a proper noun because it's God's very own name, which represents his presence as being felt. But I think there's a deeper reason why Chumash uses Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei in the description of this story. We saw it in today's Aliyah. We also saw the repetition of this idea of Yud Kei Vav Kei helping Yosef in yesterday's Aliyah as well, explaining why Yosef was so successful in the house of Potiphar as well. Recall in the covenants that God made with Avram Avinu, we had Brit Milah, which was Shem Elohim, together with Shem Kel Shaddai. We also had Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, God's special name, in God's covenant, which was known as Brit Ben Abtarim. In Brit Ben Abtarim, in chapter 15 in Sefer Breshit, Yud Kei Vav Kei enters a covenant with Avram Avinu, and in that covenant where he promises Avram Avinu one day he's going to inherit and conquer and possess the land of Israel, God also forecasted in that covenant, before we would become a nation in the land of Israel, that nation would have to go under slavery and affliction in a land that wasn't theirs, and after that affliction, God would redeem them, cause them to leave with great wealth, and then bring them to the land. In that sense, everything that happens to the Jewish people in Egypt is going to be fulfillment of Brit Ben Abtarim. When the story of Yosef and his brothers begin in Sefer Breshit, no one sees behind these events the beginning of the process of Brit Ben Abtarim. Chumash, however, realizing the reason why Yosef is going down to Egypt, it's because that will begin the whole process of Brit Ben Abtarim. If you want to see detail of this, simply read Tehilim Kufei, read Psalm 105, which is very similar to the parak we say every day in Tefillah, of Hudu L'Hashem Kiru Bishmo. The version that we say is from Divrei Yamim, but the original version of that psalm is Tehillim 105. There in Pasuk Chet, the Mizmor says, Zachar Lo'olam Brito, God remembered his covenant forever, the covenant of Brit Ben Abtarim that he made with our forefathers, and that's why he took care of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Lo hiniach ish lo shkam v'yachach aleihem melachim. It was because of Brit Ben Abtarim that God took care of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and didn't let kings like Paro or Avimelech or Lavan do them any harm. That parak continues from Pasuk Tetzayin to Chav Gimel to describe Yosef in Egypt and how he rises to power and becomes the highest official in that country. That story of Yosef is brought down in the context of God's fulfillment of Brit Ben Abtarim. Therefore, the use by the Torah in this entire chapter of God's name Yud Kei Vav Kei to describe Yosef's success and how God watches over him is most likely intentional and alludes to the reader the concept that behind the scenes is the beginning, is God's fulfillment of Brit Ben Abtarim. So in summary, we've seen today how God watches over the history of Yosef in his various travails when he's in the land of Egypt, and how these events later on are going to lead to the fulfillment of Brit Ben Abtarim. How Yosef will finally get out of this jail, we'll see in our study tomorrow of the 7th Aliyah when we study Shvi'i.